There you go.
There we go. Okay, you're on.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
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 I want to welcome everybody to the usual regular Sober at Sea meeting of the Floating Alkies group. Well, it ain't Well People's Anonymous. It's Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Russell. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Russell.
I'm actually a member of the Carl Gables group of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcohol. Let's open this meeting with a moment of silence followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now, in case you happen to walk around the ship here and somebody actually taps you on the shoulder and says, listen, by the way, what is that? I saw you with that group of people. What is that Alcoholics Anonymous thing? What you might want to tell them is Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problems and help others recover from alcoholism. Now, the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. Personally, I've been trying to make the membership requirements more stringent than that, but they're not listening to me. You know, they cut out the bull crap, you know. But, yeah. It used to be the only requirement for membership was an honest desire to stop drinking, but alkies could not handle that word honest, you know. It's just too much. It's like, am I honest? Am I not honest? It's too much of a stumbling block, you know. So a fleeting thought is good enough to get into this deal. You know, what the hell, I got nothing else to do. Boring on the ship, you know. So the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for any membership, but, you know, I personally accept money. Being an attorney and all that, I'll never turn down cash. For the actual membership requirement, there's no dues or fees. There may be a small tax at the end of this meeting. Oh, no dues or fees for any membership. We're self-supporting through our own contributions. A is not allowed in any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy. Well, this meeting will probably be a little controversial. Neither imposes nor what is it? Neither what?
Endorses.
Opposes, endorses, does something. We don't do anything with or supports anything, really. Our only desire is to stop drinking. Our only deal is to stop drinking and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Isn't that right, Susan?
Something like that.
Right. Okay. And Susan, my partner in crime, who is trying to force me to follow a script. You see what that is, Susan? See what you were trying to get me to do? When you said, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? What book am I going to read from? You see now what you were dealing with? I'm an alcoholic. Leave me alone. Don't fence me in. You know, I mean, you know, when you started talking, I started thinking, this gal belongs in Al-Anon. She's trying to require me to do something. I can just tell. It's like my wife, you know. Where are you going to go? What book are you going to read out of? You know. Okay, so Susan's going to read how it works. Go ahead.
Hi, everybody. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Susan.
Hi, Susan.
I will not editorialize during this reading.
You don't have the power to do that.
How it works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which requires vigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose, in a general way, what we used to be like, what happened, and what we're like now. If you have decided you want what we have, and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember, we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, and powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 7. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaim, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear 3 pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. C, that God could and would if he were sought.
That was wonderful, Susan. That was wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Russell.
Thank you very much. So this is, I'm supposed to do steps 1 through 4, and then I guess we do 5 through something else, and somehow we get through all of them, and so I'm going to try to do something here. It's all going to work out. I was going to give my speech on humility, but I never really do it to a crowd this small. So we'll figure out how to get through this deal. You know? I'm going to actually read from the big book. I find when I read from the big book, for some reason I piss off a lot of people. I don't know how that works, but it's an interesting thing. I happen to believe in the 10-step spiritual axiom. Now listen, there may be some people, there usually are, a good 25 to 30% if I do it right, who will walk out of here hating my guts, thinking that I'm some sort of violating some sort of something somewhere. But I happen to be one of those guys that believe in the spiritual axiom that whenever I'm disturbed, no matter what the cause, there's something wrong with me. So even though I may be totally off base and totally wrong, and I probably will be and controversial and killing all sorts of sacred cows, I figure if you're an alcoholic and you're really going to grow in this thing, you walk out of here and you'll hate me for probably all the right reasons. At some point in time along the way, you'll get sick and tired of hating me and resenting me, and you'll say, "Why do I hate that guy so much?" You'll actually do a 4th step or an inventory step. You'll pray about it, and then you'll, a year from now, you'll say, "I used to hate you, but now I love you." And you'll get some. You'll grow, and you'll grow. And that's how we grow in here, right? Through 1,000 forms, what is it? Through 100 forms of humiliation and the final crushing of our self-sufficiency. We learn the value of suffering in here. You suffer, you get crushed, and you get rid of an old idea that you've hung on to for years, and all of a sudden you grow up and you stop becoming a thumb-sucking crybaby. And you join the Fellowship of the Spirit, and you do that deal. Maybe you actually start doing the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I wonder how many people do you think actually do this program? We're going to find that out. I mean, this is pretty much your top echelon of alcoholism here, right? We got a lot of people with 20, 30 years. So we're going to find out how many people are actually doing the program of Alcoholics Anonymous instead of just talking about it. You know, it's an interesting deal. I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty. There's so much in the big book. It's a big book, right? Anybody, you learn a few things, you hear a few things, and you think you know the problem. Anybody ever hear the line, "And acceptance is the answer to all my problems"? It's like a mantra. Is it?
Yeah.
No, it's not. Sometimes courage is the answer. Sometimes faith is the answer. There's nothing wrong with the line. But, you know, people learn a few things, a couple of things, and they think that's the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. But I'm going to talk about, what I really like to talk about is the invisible book. The parts of the book that nobody reads. The parts of the book that are in your face, but nobody ever reads it. And you know why they don't read it? Because they don't see it. Now, in order to explain that to you, I'm going to tell you a little story, and this is a true story. A little bit about my background. I mean, I'm educated. I have all sorts of degrees, and it's like I told the first group. I was here for the first group. I told my sponsor once when I was terribly under-sponsored. I've got all sorts of postgraduate degrees, and I was sponsored by a used car salesman, mafioso wannabe from Chicago, and he wasn't bright like me and intelligent, and unfortunately he was about 15 years sober, and I was a drunk, and I didn't have the skills, and I came here, vulnerable, how newcomers are vulnerable, so he sponsored me, and I was scared not to listen to him, and I explained to him one time when I had an idea. I had about 3 months of sobriety, so I had an idea. And I explained to him, I said I didn't think I needed to go to meetings on Thursdays. I figured this out, that somehow Thursdays was a day where I could take off the meetings. He said, "Well, that's fine, Russ, as long as you never drank on Thursdays." So I explained to him, I said, well, I started telling him about it. He says, "Well, you don't understand." And I started telling him about all my degrees. And he said, "Well, Russ, rectal thermometers have degrees, and you know what they do with those." So that's sort of like the way I was treated. It was very poorly. I was abused when I was new in AA. I was terribly abused. And so I am, and I admit it, I am an abusive sponsor. I am not, that's true, Steve knows, I'm not very nice, people, guys call me up on the phone, they say, "I need to tell you something," I say, "I don't want to hear it," and I said, "You need to listen," and I hang up the phone, so, and they don't drink just to spite me, so, because the way I look at sponsorship is they're only there to try to get me drunk, and one of us is going to drink, and it ain't going to be me. It's like a battle, that's the deal, so. You tell me, you call me up and say, "I'm going to drink." I say, "Good," and I hang up the phone. So it allows you to sponsor quite a lot of people, quite frankly. So here's the story on the invisible book. So the story is this. By the way, if you're getting pissed off at around this time, this is about the time you say, "What's wrong with me?" See, I look at myself as like a spiritual MRI. If you're sick, you go and you get an MRI, and they tell you you got a tumor. So if you're pissed off, then you see what you're supposed to do. If you're really in this program, you're supposed to say, "Why is this guy pissing me off? Why don't I like him? What's he saying that's bothering me?" And then maybe you'll find out something about yourself that's blocking you from getting to the next level. So I was married to my first wife, a wonderful young lady. I can say that because my current wife is not here. My current wife of 27 years, married now, 27 years, 4 children, 6 grandchildren, and I was with my lovely first wife, and I was married about 5 years. We had a beautiful house and a beautiful little child, she told me, "If you come home," I walked down one Friday morning. I was in my blue suit and white shirt and red tie, and She looked at me and she said, I was about 25 years old or something, 24, I don't know, it was so long ago. And she looked at me and she said this to me. This is what she said to me. She says, Russell, he says, I just want you to know if you come home drunk one more time, I'm leaving you. And she said it exactly like that and then walked away to get some coffee or something. I mean, it wasn't like she was going to have a discussion with me. She was like making an announcement. You know, it was like, I thought I should give you notice. That if you, it was like somebody hands you eviction papers, you know? There was no discussing. It was like, if you come home drunk one more time, I'm leaving you, and then she's gone. And I saw that, and I was as sober then as I am now. I was as physically sober then as I am now. And I'm not an unbright person. You know, I know. As a matter of fact, looking back on it, I'm not sure you can say that sentence any simpler. I don't think there's an extra word in that. If you come home drunk one more time, I'm leaving you. I've tried to take out a word. Drunk? No. Leaving? No. You? No. Come? It's like every word. Is it too many syllables? I mean, can you say it shorter? Can you say it? If you come home drunk one more time, I'm leaving you. It's not even I am. It was like a contraction, you know. You can't get it any shorter. I guess in writing you could maybe abbreviate it, you know what I mean? So, I mean, it's pretty simple. If you come home drunk one more time, I'm leaving you. So I get in my car, and I drive 3 blocks, and I stop at a light, and I'm highly educated. And I was a division chief for the prosecutor, one of the largest prosecutor's office in the nation, in charge of about 5 or 6 other prosecutors and handling multi-homicide cases and all sorts of stuff. If you come home drunk one more time, I'm leaving you. And I get to the light, and I stop, and this is what I remember saying. What the hell did she mean by that? Which comes up with my first alcohol theory, which I think is actually in the book, under the term we're delusional, you know, and we lie to ourselves. It says, you know, all four sorts of delusion. I think it's in the book, but I phrase it differently. And here's my spiritual axiom. Whenever an alcoholic hears, sees, reads, or is told something he doesn't like, it confuses him. See, you're worrying, you're wondering why can't these people get it? Why can't they get it? You know, I told them, they can't. You don't understand, you see. 90% of this stuff that's in the big book, they do not see until they're 20 years old. They don't even see, they don't even read it. They don't even know it's there. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read you stuff that you don't even know is there. You could have 40 years, you don't even know. I'm going to read you invisible lines in the big book. Stuff that you do not even know is there. And it's part of our program of recovery. So what happens is we see and we read the lines that make sense to us based upon our experience that fit within our old ideas that we feel comfortable with. And the ones that look a little bit off or a little radical or a little crazy, I like to call it the good stuff. Because you know, if it's off and it's radical and it's crazy and it's a new idea and it goes completely against what we're saying, that's the one I got to latch on to because I got to get away from my old ideas or the result is nil. So listen, if your old ideas are going to kill you, and if you got to get rid of them, or else the results is nil, what would a new idea look like? It would probably look something that's completely different than the old idea. But what do I want to do? I'm defiant, and I want to stick with my old. You know what I want to do? I want to settle, like they say in the sixth step, one of those steps. It says, I want to settle. For only as much sobriety as will get me by. I want to do this thing as much as possible, as long as it doesn't hurt. As long as it's comfortable. As long as I can still get away with stuff. Right? Isn't that what I want to do? He says, yeah, that's what I really want to do. You know, there's only one thing an alcoholic won't do in this program. You know what that is? More. He just won't do more. He'll do everything, just don't ask him to do more. Because I'm already doing enough. I'm sober, aren't I? Because that's the mantra. Well, everybody's sober before they drink, right? So, let me read a couple of things. And so then I'm going to get to the old idea. I'm going to give you an invisible line that you've never heard before. Now, when I say I'd never heard before, I know there's probably some guy in here who says, yeah, I knew that line. But most of you have never heard it before. It's the invisible line. It's the line that they don't talk about in meetings. It's the line that you're not allowed to bring up at meetings. You know the way the AA fellowship works, don't you? You know, you're supposed to read the book. You're supposed to do everything in the book. Just don't talk about anything that's in the book. I mean, the whole. You understand that our entire book is based upon your relationship with God. Just don't talk about God because they don't like that. You said, you know, the entire book is found in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Just don't be a big book thumper. Don't be somebody who's always talking about the book. Don't memorize the book. Don't do any of that stuff. So, you know, we have like a schizophrenic sort of fellowship, you know. The fellowship is designed to get you drunk and keep you crazy, you know what I mean? The literature will sort of help you out. Maybe you'll actually find a sponsor. Because the fellowship is made up of thousands and thousands of alcoholics in all different degrees of sobriety, most of which are trying to figure out how to get out of here. So we're never going to stay sober. Because what is it, like 0.5% stay sober over 20 years? So if you're lucky, you'll have an old timer who will really tell you what you're doing, and the rest of the guys are saying that's a bunch of bullshit, don't listen to that. But you see, this is all my opinion, so don't let it get you rattled. I'm probably wrong. Probably wrong. So here we go. If we in turn, I'm going to read a couple of things from the big book. I like doing this because... Now, if you get pissed off at this stuff, what you need to do is you need to write New York and tell them to take it out. We, in turn, sought the same escape with all the desperation of drowning men. What seemed at first a flimsy reed. By the way, one of the things I want you to concentrate on, and this is going to be all through this series of deals, is the word, you ready? Relationship. Where it is used and how many times it is used. Relationship. Now I have a relationship with Susan here. You know, Susan and I are like buddies, you know, we just met now. It's not a long time lasting relationship, but I mean, it's like we know each other. You know, she's sort of laughing, you know, this guy's crazy. You know, he's crazy. And so we have like a relationship. You know, that means, you know how we have a relationship? Because I can see her. She sees me. We talk to each other. I said, would you help me out? She said, yeah, you know, so it's a relationship. You know, that's how you have a relationship with people. Okay, so. So remember the word relationship. If we in turn sought the same escape with all the desperation of drowning men, what seemed at first a flimsy reed has proved to be the loving and powerful hand of God. A new life has been given us, or if you prefer, a design for living that really works. If what we have learned and felt and seen means anything at all, it means that all of us, now listen, I'm a wordsmith. I like this stuff. If what we have learned, you know, I'm originally from New York. In New York, when you're talking to an alkie or anybody from New York, they drive you crazy because they always say, no matter how much you want to talk, they say, get to the bottom line. What's the bottom line? What's the point? Get to the bottom line, you know? So you know, there are certain words in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous are like the bottom line. You just know it's important. Like when they say, the great fact is this and nothing less. You figure this must be probably important. You see, what I think they ought to do is I think they ought to have the great fact is this and nothing less, and then take the rest of that out. Just put a big blank, redact it. So people are running around the room saying, what's the great fact? I said, I can't tell you, you got to have 10 years. I'll pay you. I'll give you $1,000. I said, I'm sorry, I can't. You got to have 10 years to know the great fact, you know? You know, you go to every A book and it's all cut out. The great fact, we've experienced much of heaven and we've been rocketed into the fourth dimension of existence. The great fact is this and nothing less. And then just cut out that part. You know what I mean? What is it? That our Creator lives in our mind. Our whole attitude about God and God's universe, you know? If what we have learned and felt and seen means anything at all. In other words, if we've learned anything at all, it means that all of us, whatever our race, creed, or color, all of us, that means all of us, are the children of living Creator, with whom we may form a relationship upon simple and understandable terms as soon as we are willing and honest enough to try. Further on, clear-cut directions, well, maybe not so clear for alcoholics, are given showing how we recover. These are followed by 42 personal experiences. Now listen to me, the personal experiences are important. It says what it says, our personal stories disclose what we used to be like. Our personal stories. As a matter of fact, later on I'm going to read in the A, B's, and C's, it says the chapter of the agnostic and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. These are the pertinent ideas where we must be convinced of them to even go on. And our personal stories convince us of this. Now, what is our personal story? You know, most people think our personal story is supposed to be a drunkalogue, a good drunkalogue. Now, I'm not putting down a drunkalogue. I'm not putting that down. They're all the same. they're all the same, blah, 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 and then I drank. Blah, 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 and then I drank. You know, the hat, the school, the mother, you know, and then I drank. Blah, 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 and then I drank. I was arrested, and then I drank. Blah, 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 and then I drank. I mean, they're all good. But that's not the solution, right? That's just the identification. That's the hook. That's not the deal. It says, further on, clear-cut directions are showing how we recover. These are followed by 42 personal experiences. Each individual. Listen, this isn't my opinion, folks. This is the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Each individual, in the personal stories, describes in his own language and from his own point of view. This is what I'm doing. This is my own language. This is my own point of view. I'm an alcoholic. I've been sober 27 years. Each individual describes in his own language and from his own point of view the way he did the fourth step, the way he did the fifth step, the way he drank. Is that what it says? The way he established his relationship with God. If you ain't talking that, you ain't talking what we're supposed to be talking about, what the solution is in Alcoholics Anonymous. That's just my opinion, but you want to know something? That's what it says in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. If all you're doing is giving a drunk a log, if all you're doing is joking and smoking and telling people what they want to hear, if you're not talking about how you establish a relationship with God, you're not doing what they're talking about in here. That's the deal. And some people, just some people in Alcoholics Anonymous, get to the point where they actually do experience the promises, and fear people in economic insecurity do leave them, and they're able to talk and not worry about whether the guy in the front row thinks they're stupid or not. Where everybody else in Alcoholics Anonymous are scared to even mention the word God or even talk about this stuff because they're worried about whether the group will laugh at them or humiliate them. Or whether some joker who's not going to stay sober anyway, who doesn't have anything you want, really thinks badly of them. Because I know me, there's only two things that used to bug me. Being pissed off at people or having people pissed off at me. The wrongdoings of others fancy the real have the power to absolutely kill. Real or imagined. Just, you know, I used to say to my sponsors, hey, do you get resentments? He said, get them, I give them. I said, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. Man, I mean, how could you get that? I couldn't stand it. Like Marlon Brando, if I go to a party, there's 300 people, one doesn't like me, I have to leave. I couldn't stand the fact that somebody may not like me. You know, what did I say? What did I do? How can I say it? How am I going to do it? Man, I'll tell you, get rid of that crap, it's a new freedom, it's a new happiness, right? And you can talk faster. Because you don't have to scream it through, what do they think about this, how can I say that, what if I say, you know, you just... So nowadays, I used to have people hate me and they didn't even know me, because I was lying, I was phoning up, I was just telling them what they want to hear. And I'd have to grab and say, no, that's not really me, you know? Now I have people that hate me, but at least they hate me. No, I mean, really, I mean, at least the people that hate me hate me. I mean, they're right. I hate you because of this. Hey, you're right, that's the way I am. But you know, the people that love me, I have people that love me for who I am. I don't have to phony up or be anything. You want something? You know something? Nobody does better me than me. I do the best me in the universe. Nobody can even try to do me. I'm really good at doing me, and being me is easy. So, by the way, did I mention I was an alcoholic? Listen, how do you do the first step? I'm going to tell you about the first step. You need to drink. Trust me on this. Trust me on this. The important thing about the first step is you need to drink. Drinking, there's only two rules that's important in Alcoholics Anonymous. Rule number one is you got to drink to get here. Number two, once you get here, you're actually supposed to stop. That's the deal. You need to drink to get here. There's a lot of people that are trying to get people to do the first step without the drinking thing, without the drinking ingredient. You know what I mean? It's very important. Here's what will happen. When a person drinks enough, he will do the first step and he will get here. When he hasn't drank enough, he will not do the first step. He will not get here, or if he gets here, he will not stay here. You understand? I know you actually think, I know even though the book says that we don't have the power, that there's one that has all the power, that one is God, but you find him now. I know the book says that we can't manage our own lives and no human power can be our marriage. I know we don't believe any of that crap. We actually believe we can force somebody, talk somebody, cajole somebody. There's got to be a way to get somebody or do something or intervene with somebody or do something to get somebody this deal because we are God and we can do that stuff. And we have some. I know that's what, but it's been my experience that no matter how much I love somebody, no matter how much I care for somebody, no matter how much I'm close to them, no matter how long I talk to them, no matter what I do, people tend to get sober when they're ready to get sober, and they tend to. It's like Orson Welles. I will serve no wine before it's time. They get this thing when they get this thing. And it has something to do with drinking. I had a sponsor who told me a long time ago. He says, "Russ, don't rob an alcoholic of his desperation." Sometimes the best thing you can say to somebody is say, "Hey, why don't you just go drink?" And by the way, for those of you that don't like that, you know, by the way, in the 12 and 12 it says we let John Barleycorn, you know, do it. We don't argue. We say, why don't you just go drink? But some of you people don't want to say that to somebody because then they'll be mad at you and they won't like you and somebody will criticize you. And since you're also, besides being if you're an alcoholic, you're automatically a love-me-aholic. Can't stand to be a reject-me-aholic. Can't stand what if they think badly of me-aholic. All that other sort of old ideas, craps that makes you be in bondage. That's why you get pissed at people when they talk about Bible studies or anything like that, because you're scared to do anything because you're scared you're going to be judged. The crummy way to live your life when you think about it. Getting to the age of 70 or 80 or 90 years old and maybe being on your deathbed and realize you never really lived your life because all the time you're looking at other people to see whether they liked you or not. That's a bad deal. Okay, so here we go. This is the how and why of it. This is the how and why of it. You know, when I see things like that, this is the how and why of it. You know what I think? I think this may be important. What do you think, Susan? This is the how and why of it.
This is the how and why of it.
It's important. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that here and after in this drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal. We are his agents. He is the father. We are his children. Listen, this isn't my stuff. This is Alcoholics Anonymous. Most good ideas are simple, not for us. And this concept was the keystone. Now listen to me. And this concept is the keystone. This is the whole deal. You don't get this, you don't get anything. This is the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we pass to freedom. This is the keystone. Later on, they use that term again, the keystone. This is it. This is it. You're trying to do this. You're trying to do anything after this. It's built on faulty ground. It's built on the soft sand. When we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. How many people here would like remarkable things? How many people in here would, I mean, some of you guys are just, I just want to stay sober. I don't give a crap, you know. How many people would like remarkable things to follow? How many people would like to be rocketed into the fourth dimension of existence? How many people would like to experience much of heaven? You know, I would like that kind of stuff. How many people in here would like to not only identify with the first part of the big book about the drinking and the not drinking, but what about the rest of it, where you get all those promises wrapped up? What about the part where it's seated with that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to past for you and countless others? How about experiencing what Bill Wilson was talking about in when he was having lunch with Bill Dodson, and he turned to Henry and he says, the Lord has been so incredibly wonderful to me. He's been so incredible to me, lifting this terrible disease. I got to keep on talking about it and telling other people that are so excited about this thing, even after 20. How many people want that kind of sobriety as opposed to the hanging in there? How you doing? You got 18? I'm hanging in there. Yeah, that's why I'm going to Alcoholics Anonymous for 25 years. Because I'm hanging, you know, because alcohol and honest when you think about it. You know, we're like getting a driver's license in it. You know, if you're 16 years old in the state of Florida, they'll give you a driver's license. You can be psychotic, suicidal, homicidal. You're 16 years old, you show them your birth certificate, they can be a driver's license. In AA, you're 16 years sober, you can be homicidal, suicidal, sucking on the barrel of a gun, a thief, a monster, full of crap. You know, they say, you got 15, hey, they're capping for you. You know, just show them the birth certificate. Say, I haven't had a drink in 16 years. You know, I raped 15 women and a cat the other day, but you know, hey, what the heck, I haven't had a drink. How about experiencing much of heaven stuff? How about that promises deal? So here it goes. When we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer. Being all-powerful, he provided what we needed, being all-powerful. Did you hear that? They said, we don't talk about, what does it say about God? It says he's all powerful. You know what that means? That means he's not a higher power. That means he's not a higher power. It means he's the highest power. There ain't no higher power. It's the highest power. There's only one highest power. He's the highest power. Which makes sense to me because I didn't want any vice president of powers, any assistant deputy chief of power. Because I mean, I got, unlike you, you're left. You know what it's like. I got big problems. I only have puny problems. You know, I got serious shit going on. Okay. Being all powerful, he provided what we needed if we kept close to him and did his work well. Did you know that's in there? if he kept close to him and did. I know you all remember the third step prayer and memorize. Did you know that he'll give you everything you need if you stay close to him and do his work well? How are you going to stay close to him when you don't even know who he is and you don't have a relationship with him? And how are you going to do his work well when you don't even know what his work is? When you're not even thinking about that stuff. Because anytime anybody mentions that stuff, name means saying, I don't want to listen to this goofball. He's too religious. When religion to you is a dirty word, when the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous says just the opposite, we got to stop putting down people in religion and see where they're right. That a million people in Alcoholics Anonymous putting down religion when our entire fellowship, when our big book says that's exactly what we're not supposed to do. You know, I feel like getting up in a meeting and slapping somebody when they put down religion. I says, why don't you read the big book? We don't put down religion here. We see where they're right and we see where we're wrong. You know, let me tell you something. It's not religious people that are running into people and killing them and being drunk. Except the religious drunks out there. You know. Oh, well, but I behave myself most of the time. But I can see I'm getting out of hand at this point. But that's only because I didn't take my medication this morning. Okay. But it's kind of... He provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well. So Susan asked me for the meeting, so what part of the book will you actually be working from? You know, like you think this is planned, Susan. Okay. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves and little planned designs. More and more we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life as we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we faced life successfully, as we became conscious of his presence. You know who he is. You know, see to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come past you and tell us. He's the one who's going to show you how to create the fellowship you crave. You know, it says that in the big book. You know, did you even know that you crave fellowship? I didn't know that. That's why they say stick close to me and stick close to people, because you're going to fellowship with somebody because you crave fellowship. You're either going to be fellowshipping with us in here or you're going to be fellowshipping down at the titty. You know, guys, you're either going to be here with us or you're going to be down at the titty parlor or down at the strip joint. Or you're going to be down somewhere. Or you're going to be down on the computer with the pornography. You're going to be either associating with us or you're going to be associated with people that are going to rip you down spiritually and morally. You're going to be, there's no such thing as an alcoholic who's not associating with somebody or craving somebody, or you're going to be in your room sitting listening to your phonograph associating with those imaginary people. Populating your mind with all the people that you think you're hanging out with. Or going to feel sorry for you, feeling sorry for yourself or stuff like that. So he's going to show you how to create the fellowship you crave. He's going to show you everything. So see, dude, just remember your real reliance is always upon him. And I have people that come up to me and say, well, you can't tell a newcomer that, really? Well, maybe a newcomer that's not ready for this, but I don't know the big book, my big book, I don't know what your big book says. I don't know, I have a big book here. And they have a thing, they have a chapter in the big book called Working with Others. In the chapter of Working with Others, it says, the minute we put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon our assistance rather than upon God. He clamors for this or that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn the truth. Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon people ahead of dependence upon God. Burn the idea. That sounds like even stronger than what I'm doing. That's I think it's somebody like putting a brand. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition that he trusts God. Clean house. Let no alcoholic say that he cannot recover unless he has his family back. This just isn't so. In some cases, the wife will never come back for one reason or another. Remind the prospect that his recovery is not dependent upon people. The only thing I ever hear in Alcoholics Anonymous is people. I can go to a meeting, listen to 30 people talking about their problems, not one person talks about God. They're talking about people, my mother, my cousin, my brother, my this and that and everything. One person. You know, unless there's somebody that actually knows this book, and it says it's not dependent upon people, it is dependent upon his relationship with God. How many people do you think are actually doing the program about Alcoholics Anonymous in AA? Zero, none, 1%, 5%. I mean, we're doing the best we can. Anybody tries to mention this stuff, believe me, they're shouted down, they pisses people off. We were now at step three. Many of us said to our, don't want to miss this one, life successfully became conscious of his presence. We got to lose fear of today, tomorrow, the hereafter. We were reborn. if it sounds sort of religious, it's probably because for the first 4 years, these guys were reading nothing but the Bible and some other things. Yeah, we got a book that says, "See to it that what does it say? What does it say? Do what we do." What does it say at the first part?
Rarely have we seen
a person fail who certainly followed our path. Rarely have we seen, you know, do what we do, you'll get what we got. Where to do what we do, you'll get what we got, turn into do whatever the hell you want to do, and you'll get what we got anyway. do what we do, you'll get what we got. What these guys did was they read the Bible for 4 years, and they came up with this bright idea. We were now at step three. Many of us said to our makers, we understand them. This is step three prayer. Then I'm going to get to the invisible line. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. This is acceptable in AA. You can talk about this in AA. You can even say this prayer in AA. You just can't say the next line. You're not allowed to say the next line because you can't say it. It's not allowed in AA. And if you don't think it's not allowed, the next time you have a meeting, say, I want to talk about the next line, the invisible line, the line that nobody sees. Here's the invisible line. You all know, everybody knows the third step prayer, so you all know, obviously, the line right after the third step prayer, right? You don't. Well, let me read it for you. You might want to get a book to check to see whether this is right. And I want you, as I'm saying this, to think about how many times you've actually heard this mentioned in an AA meeting. And see whether you have the guts to bring it up at your AA meeting. We thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready that we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to Him. You know why I can say that line? Because it doesn't offend me. It doesn't bother me. You know, when Bill Wilson said to Henrietta, in Bill Dodson's story, says Henrietta, you know, let me, you got to read Bill Dodson's Alcoholics Anonymous number 3. Let me give you the picture. Bill Dodson has gotten home from the hospital. Now, he's written this story after he's been sober many, many years. He was a lawyer. He was sober for many, many years. And Bill Wilson sponsored him. And he comes home from the hospital, and he's writing this story for the big book. But he, you know how when you're talking, you're writing, I don't know about you, but I remember stuff at 27 years sober that happened when I was 3 weeks sober like it was yesterday. And all the stuff in between, because there's things that happen in your life that you remember, they just stand out so much, you know? And there's a story, I'm going to tell you stories later on about stuff that happened when I was 3 weeks sober. But Bill Dodson's writing a story, and he remembered this as the keynote. He calls it the golden text of AA. He's sitting there, and he's about 3 weeks sober. And he's sober. He's about as sober as we are right now. But he's nuts. He's sober, but he's nuts. You know, you ever been sober and not, you know. Now listen, if you're sober, it's just a brief period of time, whether it be 3 weeks, 3 months, or 3 years, before you realize you're crazy. You know what I mean? I remember I had a guy in AA called me up once, a friend of mine. He got sober, and he called me up after he was sober for 2 months. And he said, Russell, he says, I'm really upset. I said, what's the matter? He says, I don't know whether I'm an alcoholic. I mean, I don't think I'm an alcoholic. He says, why, Tommy? He says, no, I may just be crazy. And I said, Tommy, you can be both. He said, really? I said, yeah, absolutely. You can. He says, you can be crazy. Because he thought he had to leave the meetings. Because, you know, he was 2 months sober and he was thinking. You know what I mean? And he's saying, I'm crazy. I'm just crazy. I said, no, you can be both. So that's the deal. So what was I talking about?
Bill Dodson,
so he's sitting there, thank you. And Bill Dodson, you can read this, I want you to read this, we had a big book. He's sitting there and he's saying, I was looking at these men, they had such, as a matter of fact, I'm going to read it exactly the way it's in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, because I don't want to do any injustice to it. Here's exactly what he says. It would be hard to estimate how much the AA program has done for me. I really wanted the program, and I wanted to go along with it. I noticed that others, now listen to this, others seem to have such a release, a happiness, a something I thought a person ought to have. I was trying to find the answer. I knew there was even more, something I hadn't got. Do you know most of the people that go to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings today are looking for that deal? but go for the same exact reason. They know they're sober, but they're looking for something more, something they know they hadn't got. And I remember one day, a week or two after I'd come out of hospital, Bill was at my house talking to my wife and me. We were eating lunch and I was listening and trying to find out why they had this release that they seemed to have. Bill looked across at my wife and said to her, this is what he said, I'm not making this stuff up. Henrietta, the Lord has been so wonderful to me, curing me of this terrible disease, that I just want to keep talking about it and telling people. I think I have the answer. Bill was very, very grateful that he had been released from this terrible thing and he had given God the credit for having done it. And he's so grateful about it, he wants to tell other people about it. That sentence, the Lord has been so wonderful to me, curing me of this terrible disease, that I just want to keep telling people about it, has been a sort of golden text for the AA program and for me. And you know what? You know why I'm grateful? I'm grateful because I identify with Bill Wilson. I identify with Bill Wilson. I identify with that statement. You know, when Bill Wilson said, the Lord has been, you know how when you're reading the book, Alcoholics Anonymous, when you first get in, you read about, take a vacation, not take a vacation, the jaywalking, say, man, that's me. When I read, you know what's great? It's great to identify with the drunk stuff. You know what's even better? When you identify with the sober stuff. When I can read that Bill Wilson said, the Lord's been so wonderful to me, curing me, that I got to keep on talking about it and telling other people, and I say, man, that's exactly the way I feel. And you know why? Because I made a decision, a third quality, third step decision somewhere along the way. And I can't tell you when it happened, where I'm ready to turn my life utterly over to Him. And I can't explain that to you, and I can't tell you how that happens. And it doesn't necessarily happen when you get down on your knees. I'll tell you what, when I got down on my knees my third step prayer, I don't even know whether I believed in God. I just did it. I just followed directions. This thing is a process. It takes place over a period of time. And I want to, and last but not least, I want to talk about the, haven't talked a lot about four, but I'll cover that stuff later. But I want to talk about step five and how it works. One of the things I like to talk about is this deal. The three pertinent ideas. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. This is what's supposed to be clear to you before you go on. It's interesting. What does it say? There's really a step before the steps, isn't there? You know, there's a step. You know, there's really 13 steps, and I'm not talking about the 13th step. There's a step before the steps. Because doesn't your book say, if you want what we have, and you're willing to go to any length to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps? You know, I went to college. You know, if you wanted to take calculus, you had to take analytical geometry first. You had to take trigonometry, then you had to take algebra before. There were things you had to do to be able to take these courses. Well, now Paul Sinan says, if you want what we have and you're willing to go to any length to get it, then you're ready to take certain. You know, there are people, you may find this hard to believe, there are people now, Paul Sinan, that don't want what we have. Maybe they want something. They may want to stop drinking. They may want to get their wife back. They may want to get their family back. They may want to get their job back. They just don't want what we have. You know, and if they don't want what we have and they just want to get something back or this, that, and the other thing, and you may walk in this way not wanting what we have, and then as soon as you get that thing back, there's no need for you to hang around. There's no need for you to do anything. If you just want the house, the money, the car, just to stop drinking, if all you want to do is stop drinking, then as soon as you stop drinking, if anybody says to you, we ought to go to a meeting, you say something like, don't worry about it, I don't even feel like drinking. Because you're not drinking, because that's all you want. And if it says, if you want what we have, and you're willing to go to anything, then that means that you must have, in order to do this, you must have a we. You cannot do the steps without a we. By definition, if in order to be ready to do the steps, you have to want what we have, and be willing to go to any length to get, then you must have a we, you must have a group of people, a person that you're looking at and say, just like Bill Dodson was looking at Bill Wilson, Bill Dodson was looking at Wilson saying, I want what he has. He had a release. He had a happiness. He was focused upon him. We don't put people on pedestals, but we do, in a sense. We look at other people and what they have, and when they say, I want that guy, I want what he has. If you don't have that we, then you don't need a sponsor, then you don't need to listen to somebody, you don't need anything. You just get that one thing you need, and then you're like, hey, I'm out of here. You know, when I was growing up, we had a movie called The Great Escape. Remember with, who was in The Great Escape? Steve McQueen. There were all these guys in a prisoner of war camp, and they were digging a tunnel out of the camp. Most, let me tell you something, 90% of people in Alcoholics Anonymous is digging their tunnel. Under the cover of the commandant. You know, he doesn't even know. They're just digging the tunnel so for the day where they can make the great escape and say, adios, muchacho, I'm out of this deal. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter of the agnostic, our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. I've done an exhaustive study on this. I have, Susan. And I'll tell you what, this is just my opinion. I think what that means, that we were alcoholics and could not manage our own lives, I think it means this. I think it means that we're alcoholics. You ready? And we can't manage our own lives. It's my theory. Now, a lot of you people, I know alcoholics don't like that rendition. They don't like that interpretation because it goes against their own ideas. That's why we come to Alcoholics Anonymous, get sober, and then spend the next 40 years trying to manage our own lives. And then report to AA like thumbsucking crybabies about how it's not working well, too well for us. Then the next one is B, that probably no human power could have relieved their alcoholism, which I believe, after reading many books on the subject, means that probably no human power could have relieved their alcoholism. I think that's the deal. And then C, that God could and would if he were sought. See, here's my theory. I think when they wrote this book, you know, before every meeting, in your group, do they read How It Works? Yeah. You know how in How It Works it says, but there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. I think they were like, serious. No, I think that. No, I know you're laughing. I think that's like the whole deal, the whole enchilada. You know what I mean? Now, if you don't understand what the problem is in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I love Alcoholics Anonymous, you go back to your group and you read them, and do a little meeting on the invisible line. We thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready that we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to him. Mindful of the fact that you're dealing with a fellowship where it says we never apologize for depending upon God. You read that to them, you start talking about God, and you see what kind of flack you get. Now, if you've got less than 10 years, don't do this. Don't do this. Don't try this at home. I'm a professional, you know. You know, but no, really, don't do this if you've got like 3 months or something. You know, I'd like to see you alive. But the point is, right, you'll be eaten up alive, won't you? Right? You see, well, that shows you. So, you know, it sort of gives you an idea of how far off course we've sort of like traveled in this deal. But in any event, so next time, we're just about out of time. Next time we'll talk about steps, whatever. We'll do the rest of the stuff, you know what I mean? Whatever I left out and some more, okay? Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Well, I don't know. How do we close? You close this thing, you close it. I close it?
Yeah.
Okay. We don't